Welcome to CougarCast with Keith Schertz and Tosh McIntosh. CougarCast, covering BYU football and basketball. Email the show, cougarcast@gmail.com, and follow on Twitter at CougarCast.
Basketball is here.
I'm a bigger basketball fan than I am football fan. And I am as well. Have you been in the new Marriott Center yet?
Yes. Fantastic. It's awesome. Yeah, it's incredible.
Great, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, they sacrificed some chairs for it. I love that they put the blue chairs all the way around, even though students stand all the
time. Yeah, that's my only problem with it. Is I wish they would have left bleachers for the students for an atmosphere standpoint, but that's fine. Whatever. I love the Marriott Center.
Well, exciting season. Listen, last year the story of the team was that you had two guys that are amongst the 25 best players to ever play in the history of the school. Tyler Hawes and Kyle Collinsworth. They were outstanding last year, but they were featured on what was probably one of the more unbalanced teams in all of college basketball, certainly in BYU recent history. Absolutely struggled underneath the basket to make things happen for themselves. And so, this year, they lose Tyler Hawes. They get back Kyle Collinsworth. But it looks like they're going to have a lot more balance offensively.
I am stoked about our newcomers. Like, yeah, the loss of Tyler Hawes hurts. No doubt about that. But I can't remember a time when I have been more excited about the new faces on a squad as I am this year.
I think, obviously, there's a lot of great new faces, but the most exciting return, of course, is Kyle Collinsworth.
Yeah.
Kyle Collinsworth is unlike any player we've really seen at BYU. A 6'6" point guard. I mean, when I say Kyle Collinsworth, what are some of the things that come up? Obviously, the triple doubles, but
to me, it's that he can get any offensively. He can get anywhere on the court that he wants to. It's not like that he's the fastest or the most athletic guy on the court, but he's enough of those. He's one of the fastest guys on the court. He's one of the most athletic, and his control of just being able to get where he wants to go is really unmatched. And that he's above average in everything. And that's why he's a triple double machine, is because he's above average in pretty much every area except free throw shooting.
Well, it's an interesting, yeah, his free throws actually,
they got a lot better last year. Yeah.
He goes to the line a lot too.
Yep.
One of the things though, with Kyle Collinsworth that is in play form this year is that the danger that happens is now this is his team, and he will be called upon to take more possessions offensively. Or do you think he won't be? Do you agree or disagree with that thing? Do you think that BYU will look for him to score more and use more of his abilities to go to the hoop and to try to put points on the scoreboard more than they did last year?
I think at the beginning of the year, that pressure will be there, but I think we have more skill at pretty much almost every position than we did last year. We have more shooters. We have more offense at almost every position besides Tyler Hawes. And so I think quickly as the season goes on, he's going to be probably even more of a distributor role than he even was last year. I think that that's really where the season's going to go, is we're going to get scoring from a variety of places that can shoot the ball at a decent efficiency rating.
Well, it'll be interesting. They're going to need guys to fill in quickly then. If Kyle Collinsworth is not going to improve, you know, whenever a guy ups his usage rate, everything else goes down, right?
Yeah, to be the case. Totally. In the NBA or college.
It's hard to continue that rate. And so Tyler Hawes last year used 31% of the team's possessions when he was on the floor. They're going to have to find somebody else to take on almost a third of their offensive possessions.
I can tell you some guys that are raising their hands for wanting those possessions. We all know Chase Fisher is going to want, he's going to want as many shots as he can get.
And he took a bunch, 23% usage last year for Chase.
I think Nick Emery is that guy as a player. I am excited to see this guy play. I also think our
four-star recruit, if you don't know, he's from Lone Peak and was part of that. He was what, Utah Mr. Basketball.
He was like a top 100 player in the nation by ESPN.
Yes,
I think he was up to like around 50.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. But he was a four-star shooting guard, and he's awesome. And obviously, his brother was Jackson Emery, so pedigree.
Oh yeah, and I think he will be a great scorer. I also think that Toulson, we saw signs last year, but he's kind of looked uncomfortable. He has looked very comfortable this year, and he's an offensive force.
Maybe he had anxiety.
Maybe he did.
Here's the thing with Jake Toulson that I think people underrate or haven't noticed yet, but that guy's got the passing gene.
Yeah.
He's a great passer.
And that's, as many of those guys you have on the court, the better. I also think our big men last year, no one was going to argue with me except maybe some players' parents, but even then they know in their hearts of hearts. Last year, our big men were bad and we were shallow in the big men category.
I think you're being a little harsh on Josh Sharp and Luke Worthington.
Okay. See, you've been talking to the parents, it appears. We are taking a big step in the right direction this year in that Kyle Davis, who the transfer from Utah State, he's an efficient big man who will score. I think Bronson Kafusi is still going to have some rawness to him, but he's going to, I actually ran into, former players that played with this team during the offseason. And again, they just nothing but praise on Bronson Kafusi and his ability to just improve, to become an offensive force. I look for him to take a step in the right direction. If Eights gets healthy.
Still looks like Groucho Marx, but tall without glasses.
Yeah, and can jump. Yeah. I never saw Groucho jump, but I just think.
He had a vertical, though. You know, 50 inches.
Maybe he did.
Yeah.
And so anyway, this year's team, I think, is, if I was to use two words, number one, I would say balanced. Number two is depth.
More balanced.
Yes.
They're still guard heavy, but they have options.
Right now they're guard heavy because our big men are hurt. So who knows?
Even when my big guys are healthy, they're going to be more guard. They're going to play around the perimeter more.
Yeah, balanced for a BYU standard. More balanced than we've been in 5-6 years.
Yeah. Let's talk about a little bit more about Kyle Davis. Okay, Kyle Davis, two high schools. He started his college career at Utah, at Southern Utah. Went on a mission. Transferred Utah State. Transferred BYU. He's and he's beloved by Steve Pierce at Post Jimmer on Twitter. He is the forward Matt Carlino.
That's funny, especially with the Post Jimmer comments.
Yes, but no, I mean, it looks like he might be good. I don't know, you know, if he'll do some of the hero ball stuff that people didn't like about.
That's what I was going to say. That's where the comparison really isn't the same. Kyle Davis is a very efficient player.
But yeah, Kyle Davis in the Mountain West Conference, he was scoring 9.1 points per game. He didn't really shoot good from three, Tosh.
No, but he doesn't take many. I think he took like one three all year.
No, but he's good at rebounding. So 9 points and 7.5 rebounds a game, that's not bad. And playing in the Mountain West Conference, that certainly is somebody. He's given the Aggies 25 minutes a game. So he can go. This is a Division I player.
Yeah.
In the post and has the ability to score some points. It would be like any rebound sort of I need to check that, but it seems like he has the ability to rebound at a similar clip as Nate Austin. So it's sort of like having a guy that can score. It's like a scoring Nate Austin. How about that?
And we have Nate Austin back, too. That's our season. As much as fans like to sometimes pick on old Nate, we were not as good without him last year as we were with him. And so it's nice to have him back.
Team player, man.
Yeah. That guy hustles. He will lead the country again in time spent on the floor. And I don't mean playing. I mean literally laying on the floor. He will lead the country.
Yeah. Is it because he'll be resting his back like Larry Bird?
Maybe so.
Yeah, no, listen, I think that, I mean, he's old enough at this point, Nate Austin. No, I think Nate Austin's a great addition. This has been a thing. By the end of the year, is Nate Austin starting?
No. We have too much depth and scoring talent, I think, from...
And if there's ever been a guy poised to take a role, it's Nate Austin. I've always said this about Nate Austin. You and I have been doing this podcast now for, what, going on 4 years mm-hmm. at this point. Nate Austin, if anything, was built and to be an energy guy off the bench to go and get you a few rebounds and defend a few possessions and then get out of the game.
Yeah.
He is a great role player, garbage man type player who might be able to get you a layup or something. You know what, though? He gets offensive boards, and you said this to me. He's going to be the all-time offensive board just guy before it's all said and done. But if he stays healthy.
Yep.
But he gets offensive boards and doesn't go right back up with it. I hope we see him do that.
I don't.
You're so close to the basket.
I think he's going to be the same player he always was. What I want to – my question to you, which player that nobody's talking about 3 weeks from now is everyone going to be saying, man, that guy is – it's awesome that we have that guy.
There's a lot of candidates here.
Oh, yeah.
For this. Because I think Corey Calvert's a good player. Mr. Colorado, he – was great down the stretch of his freshman year and took on more minutes at the end of that year and was good in those minutes and looked like he had all the confidence. He's a guy that I could see us being excited about, potentially.
Mm-hmm.
But with Kyle Collinsworth in front of him, anyway, it's hard to see that. I think Jordan Chapman has that potential too, but... the guy that nobody, literally nobody talked about, but he looks like he belongs and can go and probably commands a few minutes, is Braden Shaw.
Yeah.
But he might not play either because you have more experience and you have Kafusi. They're just a little bit bigger and they have more experience. So if you have Kafusi and Austin and Ates, if he gets back and these guys, they're going to run these guys. But doesn't it look like...
Shaw is athletic. That's what if he's a big body and that guy can jump. He can rebound. 6'9", like
nine freshman, 210. He's from Eagle, Idaho.
But so here that I agree with you. I think there's five guys that could be the breakout surprise player on this team: Hartstock, Shaw, Celius.
Celius is another guy.
That guy's awesome.
Again, everyone was flipping out about, you know, getting Mr. Utah. Celius was Mr. Utah last year.
Yeah.
Best basketball player in the state of Utah. Last
year. He was great as a junior. Like, he's big and can shoot he can stroke the three. And then I think that Chapman, like you said, and Calvert, there's five guys that could be the breakout player that no one's talking about.
Celius's thing, destiny this year, I feel like, is bring him in off the bench. Get a couple shots up. If he's hot, leave him in. If not, then you sit him on the bench and he's done for the game.
So out of those players,
you disagree.
Totally agree. I think we got several of those guys.
Is he a defensive guy?
Who? Celius? I haven't seen enough of him to know. Especially the college level. He has the body and athleticism that maybe he could.
So you didn't add Corey Calvert to that, but I think it's a guy that he's gotten lost in the woods on this a little bit. But let's make your pick.
My pick, Jacob Hartstock.
Why?
I have confidence that, he fills two roles for us that BYU desperately needs. One is on the defensive side. He can guard the four position. He's big enough. He rebounds well. He has some of the things like his older brother where he's just even though he might be a little outdueled athletically, he's crafty enough as a defender, it appears, to be able to get the job done. What he,
really? You think he can block shots at the ability that, you know, Noah's like third all time in block shots.
And it was, and the guy couldn't even jump, but somehow he was like this great shot blocker.
He was a good defender, yeah.
And I think that his brother has pieces. He had a nice block the other day, yes. I also think that on the offensive side, what last year's team lacked is shooters. That he could, is arguably, I know this is a big statement, I think he's arguably our best shooter. That at the, from the four, he's a true stretch four. Quick release. This guy also was 5A MVP in the state of Oklahoma, which is, I mean,
Mr. Oklahoma.
There's two big cities there, Oklahoma City and Tulsa. There's some good basketball played there that I think he will, hey, here's the other missing link. With Ayt's hurt, he's already been spoken. He's going to get some time to start the year. I think he takes advantage of that time and that he keeps playing the whole year.
Okay. I struggle with him a little bit because I'd like to see him be, I'd like to see him play with his back to the basket a little bit.
But that's
not
him.
That's
everyone wants him to be
basketball.
Everyone wants him to be Noah though, but he's not a mid-range shooter. He's a 3-point shooter.
Yeah. So he's more Tabanari than
he's more Kevin Love, rebounder and 3-point shooter. But he's not tall enough.
Not Kevin Love.
Yeah. But I think he can shoot. I think he's our best 3-point shooter.
I don't think so.
Time will tell. Oh, I hear you.
The second most threes of any player in the history of the school this season.
He was streaky, though.
He was streaky, but he hit a ton of threes.
Yeah. I'm not saying that Harshak will hit the most. I think his 3-point percentage could be, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say will be, the best on the team.
Well, that's a prediction and a half, and that's a truly bold prediction. Dave Rose has a problem this year. His problem is that he's got 12 spots on his bench, right? And maybe 10 guys, maybe even 12, but 10 guys that you would really feel deserve time on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't have enough minutes for them all.
Correct. That's the big question. How are we going to keep guys happy?
Beyond that, you have a lot of guys that, it's really hard because like Nick Emery and Chase Fisher are sort of repeaters, don't you think? Like they kind of do similar things.
Totally.
You have a couple spots like that where there's some repeat ability with these guys. It appears Jordan Chapman and Kyle Collinsworth sort of give you a similar type thing, kind of handling the ball, 6'5", 6'6", handling the ball type thing.
Mm-hmm.
So the biggest problem is as a coach, your job is to calibrate your offense and defensive schemes and lineups in a way to try to find advantages with certain pairings and stuff like that. That's going to be very, very difficult with all the talent on this team.
Yeah.
It's a problem he's created for himself.
It's a good problem to have.
It's a good problem to have, and we're really going to see if Dave Rose has that extra gear here as a coach. I think it's a good problem to have, and it's something that arises when you say, yeah, Kyle Davis, transfer in here. Hey, Isaac Nielsen, you're off the team. Like, just being willing to, like, yeah, absolutely. Like, of course I'm not going to say no to Elijah Bryant. Get out of here, Jordan Ellis. You know, mm-hmm. Like, I mean, he's willing to get rid of guys if he feels like he's getting a better player coming in.
Yeah.
That's a great thing.
Totally.
I like that a lot. But his ability to configure everything, that'll be interesting. Offensively, I'm not that worried. You got to find other people to shoot and stuff, but they'll be able to sort that out. Dave Rose always scores points. Defense, defense, defense. And the hopes
of Quincy Lewis, right? Aren't we
dreams of Quincy Lewis?
We're putting our that's where our defensive identity or the restoration of BYU's defense,
yes,
could be based on, can Quincy Lewis get this team to actually guard somebody?
And
I think it will improve. We won't get worse.
He's invoked the holy name of Virginia.
He has.
Saying we want to be like Virginia. We're adopting or doing Virginia-style defense.
Here's the thing I don't know if...
Virginia's defense was outrageous last year, folks.
Awesome. But we don't have the athletes they have. But here's the thing I think people aren't thinking of. One of the best side effects of having a lot of depth on your team is you get better defense because you can actually, every coach in the country says, if you don't play defense, you don't play. Mm-hmm. Most of them are lying because most of them, they know if they take that guy out, they're going to get us. At BYU, we have enough depth that the coaching staff really could have that policy. If you don't play, we're going to pull you. And they wouldn't lose much on offense. So these players will have to play defense if the coaches hold them to it.
The good part is that with all the different looks that they have, you know, you're right. They have an opportunity to do that. The problem is nobody has established themselves at this point as we're going to throw you at the best wing that the other team has.
Yep.
We don't have that shutdown defender. We used to do this with Abuo, Kamard, with Emery. We used to have guys that we could throw.
Even Anson last year, we tried to kind of – he wasn't
he was
that role.
Better, but he was – yeah. But the point is that we don't have a guy to do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there will be certain matchups this year that just scare me to death. you know, there's guys that we're going to have to look out for. But one of the things that I – so defensively, we're nervous, but we win games by shooting the ball. And this is the one part of missing Tyler Hawes that I think we'll have to wait and see on this.
Mm-hmm. Right?
But I'm really nervous that there were several games last year where everybody did not have it going and Tyler Hawes figured out a way to get to the line, make enough baskets. He scored 25 points. The team was only down by 6 or 7 at halftime and were able to hang in there and still play. What happens if shots aren't falling? You think that there will be that guy that can just go out and say, we're going to score. I'm going to get to the line. I'm going to figure out a way to put points on the board. I don't think we have that guy either.
Emery is the best chance. No. Collinsworth's shot's not good enough to do that. He has to. Collinsworth has to get to the rim to score.
But maybe being that physical isn't so smart with Kyle Collinsworth?
Yeah.
Is that the worry?
For sure. I think Emery might be that guy, but time will tell. It's tough for a freshman. So let's hear, what's your record predictions for this season?
Well, it'll be interesting this year. They have a couple stretches this season where the Cougars are going to be in trouble. Here's a few of those stretches, okay? In the non-conference season, they have a back-to-back stretch where they go Belmont and then Utah in the Huntsman Center. Belmont's at home. Belmont's not bad.
No, they've been great some years. Last year they were borderline great.
So that game is that stretch is game 5 and 6 into the season, and that's kind of a scary stretch. Then they have a stretch where they do at Colorado, home to Central Michigan. Don't sleep on that Central Michigan team. Chris Fowler, their junior guard, great scorer. He's scary. He's one of the scariest guys we'll play this year. Utah has a couple scary guys. Podol scares me. There's a couple guys that scare me on that team. But anyway, that stretch, and then when they go out to Hawaii for the Diamond Head Classic, a couple tough matchups out there. So potentially a couple losses through that stretch too. And then obviously they got some tough luck in their West Coast Conference schedule, Tosh. They start off that St. Mary's Pacific trip has been a tough one in the past, usually a 1-1 trip.
Yeah.
That's how they start their West Coast Conference this time. Then they have a stretch January 14th through January 23rd. Back-to-back road trips on the week, so 4 straight road games. And they're going on the 2 trips that have been the most difficult for them since joining the West Coast Conference. The second most difficult trip has been at Gonzaga at Portland. Okay, that's been the second hardest trip to come.
I know which one's the most, but which one's the most?
The most difficult trip has been Loyola, Marymount, and Pepperdine.
Which is mind-boggling. My biggest surprise since joining the WCC is that we've struggled more than I thought we would against even lesser teams on the road in the conference play.
And the problem with that is we all thought that we were sort of in the same land as Gonzaga, and we're just not. That's a better basketball program
yeah.
than BYU. And that's been one of the growing pains of learning how to handle that. That four-game road stretch is going to be murder. Stacey Davis scares me at Pepperdine. He should scare you, too. Kyle Wiltshire, obviously, big, big problem. Okay. 31 games. Tosh, this team's going to be firmly on the bubble once again. I think they're going to drop, let's say, four. I'll do four games non-conference. Let's say they're going to drop Utah. They're going to drop, let's say, they'll drop two out in Hawaii, and let's say Central Michigan gets them. And then in conference, they're going to drop four more. So that's eight losses, Tosh. That's scary. 23-8 may not be enough, probably not enough to get them in the NCAA tournament.
I think it's enough, but it's right on the border.
First four. I think you got to go and do something special down at the Orleans Arena.
All right. So here's my predictions. We're not far off. I'm not going to go through the whole schedule again, but I think that we'll lose three games in non-conference play.
Okay.
Then I think that we drop four in conference play, and one of those is going to be against the Zags, but then we will also lose three other teams because we're going to beat them at home. We're going to beat Gonzaga at home. We always do. Yeah, and I'm worried about, yeah, of course I'm worried about Pepperdine. Last year, I brought a foreigner to that game thinking we were going to just blow the doors off, and we were like 18-point favorites, and we lost. Yeah, he kills us. And so I think my prediction season-wise, we go 24-7. We finish number two in the WCC, but that gets us... I'm a little more optimistic on the selection committee. I think WCC has proven to be a two-bid league, and that with that resume, we'll end up being a number 10 seed in the tournament.
First four. At best, first four. Come on, Tosh.
No, I mean, who knows? It depends how good. We have no idea how good. If Belmont turns out to be a good team, Utah, Colorado.
RPI can be positively.
We have no idea. I think that this schedule could be better than we think, and that we get a decent, not 10's not decent, but that we get a 10 seed.
Last thing to finish on, here's what's at stake for Kyle Collinsworth. Right now, Tosh, I have Kyle Collinsworth as the 26th best player in BYU history. That is only according to ranks based upon their achievements, so winning Conference Player of the Year, All-American honors, National Player of the Year, things like that, okay, all conference teams. When you add it all up, and I have a scoring system, Kyle Collinsworth sits 26th, and I think he has a chance to potentially jump into the top 10, but he needs to be Conference Player of the Year. He needs to be an All-American. First-team All-American would really help. those are the things at stake for him, but awesome, awesome player. They've played basketball at BYU for a long, long time. Kyle Collinsworth, right now, amongst the top 25 players, he's there.
It'll be fun to watch this year. I think he has a chance to build his legacy to even stretch to be top 10 if he goes crazy this year. But we're watching the final year of a great BYU player.
Great, great player. So cherish watching him. I have him going to the NIT, making a run in the NIT. What do you got?
I think that this is the year that we actually win a game or two in the NCAA tournament. This is the year. We have the depth, we have the athleticism and size more than we've had in the past. This is going to be the year we take a next step into. I think we are on the precipice of BYU basketball greatness, and I think this is the first year that we inch our way towards that.
See, I think this is a reload year. So there you go. So I think, by the way, you got to have your best player on the team is probably Kyle, and it's not probably. He is the best player on the team. And so we'll see how far he takes him. That'll be a big part of his legacy. I kind of feel like it's going to be a little bit of a letdown this year. I love the team. I'm going to love watching them, but I kind of think it might be a little bit of a rougher go. Firmly on the bubble, at least.
We need to get healthy. And these first few games, when we're playing our real players and trying to not just practice, will be good indications of how good we are.
All right. Well, so enjoy BYU basketball. Thanks for listening to us. Follow us, CougarCast. Email us, CougarCast@gmail.com. And rate us and subscribe to us on iTunes.
Have a good one.
Thank you for listening to CougarCast. If you enjoyed this show, take the time out to give us a rating on iTunes. Also, look for us on VanquishTheFoe.com. If that isn't enough, you can follow us on Twitter @CougarCast. Enjoy the games, and go Cougars!